The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Glamour Magazine, 17 Magazine, and Harper's Bazaar. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at kiwanisfoundation.org. Well, good evening and welcome back, everyone. Very often on this program, we talk about beauty, be it external beauty or internal beauty. That seems to be a topic for us with the magazines that we read from, be they Glamour or 17, Harper's Bazaar, etc. Today, our first article, the Olympic gold medal winner, or gold medal swimmer, I should say, Simone Manuel, shares her definition of beauty. And the article has a beautiful picture of turquoise blue water with lots of bubbles around in which Simone Manuel is swimming. And she's got a kind of a red, white, and black plaid type of bathing suit on, and she is just putting forth that right arm, you know, a heavy, strong stroke. And it says on the bottom, making a splash. She's quoted to say, "I like the idea that I'm chasing perfection," says Manuel. And this picture was photographed at the Avery Aquatic Center at Stanford University. The title of this article is Beauty is Strength. And this comes from the June 2017 edition of Glamour magazine. That's something Olympic gold medal swimmer Simone Manuel has never questioned. Now, as novelist Caitlin Greenidge reports, the rest of the world is finally getting on board. So, beauty is strength. I often play a game in the mirror. What way can I hold my face to ensure I look beautiful? It's not a game I ever remember playing as a child. Back then, beauty was not even part of the equation. My mother, feminist that she was, insisted that my sisters and I try to be smart, to be kind, to be good helpers, good citizens. Beauty was not a category we were supposed to aspire to. My mother had grown up a tomboy, the rebellious daughter of a woman who loved makeup and fine china and referred to jeans as dungarees. For her, beauty was so uninteresting, it didn't even bear mentioning. Who cared if a woman was beautiful? Everyone in my family was more interested in whether or not she could tell a good joke. But what happens when things don't get discussed at all? They take on a weird sort of power of their own. As a teenager, I realized that beauty was becoming more and more necessary in the real world. Beauty was power. And in high school, at least, it felt as though its currency had a fixed value, something that stayed the same, measured in how flat you could make your stomach and how small the circumference of your thighs remained. The measures of beauty, we were told, were about proportions, and the most beautiful proportions always involved being small and very slender, physically capable of being knocked over by a strong wind, with a nose that wasn't too broad or too long, lips that weren't too big, and skin that wasn't too dark. And you shouldn't be offended by these measurements, we were told. All cultures appreciated such proportions. There was no talk of beauty being found in a woman's muscles or her strength, unless you were giving a backhanded compliment to someone who had clearly lived a rough life. I used to assume everyone battled with this contradiction of knowing that beauty doesn't matter and also knowing desperately that it does, and that only a certain kind of body meets its standards. I thought this was a tale as old as womankind, or at least as old as modern advertising. But something has shifted in the last few years, and I'm not sure that narrative fits any of us anymore, exactly. In the past decade, we've seen women like Serena Williams and Ronda Rousey celebrated for both their athletic achievements and their beauty. And it isn't understood that their strength is an integral part of that beauty. It is understood that their strength is an integral part of their beauty. That their ability to push themselves to daring physical feats, to places bodies rarely go, is to be as admired as their proportions and their grace. Simone Manuel is one of those women too. When I talk to her on the phone, she is in the midst of a busy day, leaving the dining hall at Stanford University, where she is a junior. In her freshman year, Manuel, 20, broke the American and NCAA swim records in the 100-yard freestyle. She went on to become the first African-American woman to win an individual medal in swimming in the Olympics, a gold one, for the 100-meter freestyle. When she competed last summer in Rio, Twitter and Snapchat exploded with images of awestruck little girls watching Manuel on huge TVs, her face shocked and surprised at the moment she hears she beat records. So it is understandable that when I ask Manuel, "Did you ever aspire to a certain kind of beauty?" there's a slight pause, as if she's considering the strangeness of this question. The idea that she should have desired to be anything other than herself, the idea that strength is not enough or is in opposition to beauty, seems not to have occurred to her. My parents always reminded me and my brothers to accept ourselves for who we are in every aspect, she answers. So I haven't had a specific, "Oh, this is what I would like to look like," idea of my body. "Where does your drive come from?" I ask, and she pauses again. "I just love competing," she says. "I learn so much about myself every day when I'm in the pool. I like the idea of chasing perfection, even though most of the time you probably won't reach it." For Manuel, beauty is found in the drive to do better than what you personally did yesterday. It's the place where the pursuit of perfection loses any of its connection to ego, where you realize that your own hang-ups and roadblocks are what's driving you forward or keeping you back. Not a crowd, not a coach, and certainly not a culture's wider beauty standard. When I ask Manuel when she feels most beautiful, she answers this without hesitation: "When I'm swimming." I think back to how I would have answered that question at 20. I'm not sure I could have. Today, it would be even more head-spinning, as our feeds and phones are filled with memes and millions of think pieces trying to redefine beauty. Yet, amid all this noise, there's a whole army of young women, like Manuel, who are unfazed, surging forward, looking for other worlds to conquer. And the author of this article, Caitlin Greenidge, is a writer in Brooklyn and author of the novel We Love You, Charlie Freeman. Continuing on the thought of what makes beauty and following your dreams and things of that nature, our next article is from the May-June 2017 edition of 17 Magazine, and it is by the author you'll love, Jennifer Yu. And Jennifer Yu has written a book called 4 Weeks, 5 People. It's a new read. and 4 weeks, five people, the third release by 17 Fiction from Harlequin Teen, hit stores. Well, it already hit the stores May 2nd. So Jennifer Yu, the 21-year-old reveals the personal story behind her first novel and how she found success before college graduation. Kind of like Simone. All right. So number one, 4 weeks, five people is about a summer program for teens with mental health issues. What inspired that? So this is her answer. The summer after my freshman year of college at the University of Pennsylvania, I was actually 17. I really wanted to write, but I was having writer's block. I texted a friend and said, "Can you give me a prompt?" He wrote back, "Write a story about camp told from different perspectives." I thought, "Wow, really good prompt." So I took that, and I wrote the first two scenes of what became the book. Two, the characters deal with some intense struggles. Was any of that personal for you? Her answer, "Yeah, definitely. But I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to write about emotionally troubled teens. At the time, I was having difficulty with mental health and depression. I felt like I wasn't good enough and that I would never be. My inability to feel better made me very jaded and cynical. And I think I channeled a lot of that into the character of Stella. As the novel grew, I called upon other experiences that my friends or I had, and that's what shaped those voices." Third question. Did it scare you at all to put those feelings down on paper? I wrote most of the book during my junior year for a class called Writing for Children and Young Adults, and I had to share it with the rest of my class. It was terrifying. I thought that I'd never experience anything scarier, but now I know I was wrong. I'm much more terrified now that the book is being released. I had no idea it would be published or seen by a wider audience, which is good because I think that would have made me feel more afraid. Question 4. How did you learn to deal with your depression? It's something I'm still learning to cope with. It's an ongoing process. A large part of it was going to therapy. I think it's also about making yourself a priority. For a lot of people in school, mental health isn't a priority since there's so much else going on. You think it would be nice to engage in self-care, but that's not number one on my list. For me, learning to put it first was a big step forward. 5. When did you decide that you wanted to be an author? I never ever thought of it that way. Like, I made a decision. Going back to middle school, I've always just written. I'd come home at the end of the day, load my dinosaur of a computer, and end up writing all night long. In the 6th grade, I wrote a short story called Dodgeball Time, which was the story of a girl who got concussed in gym class. It was really just me channeling my fear and outrage that we were being forced to play that game. 6. Which young adult authors inspire you? My favorite book of all time is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. I reread it every couple of years, and it gets better each time. I really like Hold Still by Nina LaCour, which is a good book on depression and loss. And, of course, I'm a huge John Green fan, too. And a final question. Do you have any advice for aspiring writers who are starting out? Just write. Sometimes I meet people who want to be writers, but they just talk a lot about writing or Google inspirational quotes about writing without actually sitting down and working. Find something that resonates with you and keep putting words down on paper. Be vulnerable in your writing and tell stories that make you afraid. That's how you know it's something worth sharing. Okay, we're going to switch gears just a tad, and we're going to talk about external beauty. All right, and this article is from Harper's Bazaar, and it is called Dare to Wear Color. Okay, we're going to have some fun with some summer makeup trends here. All right, fearlessness is the key to making summer's best makeup trend yours. And this article is by Anne-Marie Guarnieri. And this is from the May 2017 edition of Harper's Bazaar. Optimistic, colorful makeup is a must this season, whether it's eyeshadow, blush, or lipstick. Yes, wearing exuberant shades, especially if they're new to you, requires a strategy. But the reward is a more youthful, livelier look with very little effort. The secret is to choose only one feature to highlight. The focal point on your face should be a bright color with smooth, impeccable skin, says makeup artist Ricky Wilson. Read on for expert tips on how to go bold. All right, first, eyes. Your eyes will appear bigger and brighter with blue eyeshadow, says makeup artist Troy Surratt. We like Maybelline, New York expert, wear eyeshadow in Acid Rain, and it goes for $3.99. When you surround your eyes with blue, it makes the whites of your eyes look whiter and eliminates redness. Green eye makeup can emphasize ruddiness, but when blended with gold, it becomes more wearable. And they recommend MAC eyeshadow in Steamy, $16. Purple, Surratt says, is ideal. It works on everyone because it's a mix of red, which is warm, and blue, which is cool. Try NYX Hot Singles eyeshadow in ultraviolet for $4.50. Apply shadow up to your crease and stop there, says Wilson. Onto your lips. Anyone can pull off a vibrant pout, Wilson says, but your lips need to be in good condition, i.e. flake-free and smooth. Start by lightly patting on a sheer concealer around your mouth, which helps your color stay put, preventing it from feathering. Next, use a lip liner in the same shade as your lip product to carefully outline your lips, such as Makeup for Ever Aqua Lip Waterproof Lip Liner Pencil for $19. Then fill them in with color. Velvety liquid and opaque matte formulas look modern. Wilson loves L'Oreal Paris Infallible Paints / Lip for $9.99, which comes in a veritable rainbow of saturated hues. We like Lancôme Matte Shaker for $22. It's long-wearing but not drying. And finally, cheeks. After an extended hiatus, blush is making a big comeback, says Surratt, and in some unexpected shades, oranges, reds, fuchsia. They may look aggressively bold in the package, but they go on sheer. For so long, there's been an emphasis on glow, but I think blush gives you healthy radiance, he explains. If your skin tone is medium to dark, go for a true red or poppy, like NARS Blush in Exhibit A for $30, or Surratt Beauty Artistique Blush in Ponceux for $32. For lighter complexions, a peachy orange, such as Chanel Powder Blush in Malice for $45, or a hot pink like Dior Rosy Glow Healthy Glow Awakening Blush in Petal for $44 creates a pretty flush. Apply it with a large, fluffy brush, says Wilson, high on the cheekbones. It lifts the face and makes you look happier. Okay, we're going to continue on with some external beauty products. This is more for the fashion aware. And this is from Harper's Bazaar, May 2017. It is the list. This month's objects of desire. 1. Bright sandals that wrap around the ankle. And the one pictured is a kind of light to medium blue with a very tall, probably 3-inch spiked heel. And the wrap is, it's a leather sandal with a crisscross over the toe and the like your metatarsal area, and then it's got a nice wrap around the ankle. All right, 2, drop earrings for any occasion. And this one has a beautiful kind of a peach-colored enamel flower, and it's got a diamond on top where you would adhere it to your, or, you know, put it into your earlobe, not your ear. All right, 3, big geometric sunglasses in a fun hue. These glasses are pink, both on the side and in the front. The side is adhered to the front with a black, and over the top rim of the sunglasses, the lenses are red. So big geometric sunglasses in a fun hue. 4, an oversized hat for warmer weather. And this is a straw hat with a blue ribbon over the top. Really cute. 5, a textured bag with pops of color. This bag is, it's textured. It looks like it's out of fabric with maybe a leather trim. And it's yellow. No, it's more of a cream or, yeah, it's like a cream and gray vertical stripe, and then it's gray, light gray on the inside, and it has pink and black and white, looks like kind of crowns, or maybe they're flowers coming out off either side of the bag. All right, and then we've got 6, rich sapphire blue shadow. What more can I say? Blue eyeshadow. Sapphire color. And 7, pastel kitten heels that have ladylike details. This is a pink sandal with one inch heel. It's a very delicate, very thin heel. The back of the sandal wraps around one's heel, and then it's got a little wrap, very thin strap to wrap around the ankle, and around the tarsal area is a pink band, and this is again like soft baby pink with it looks like a ribbon or something, or a ribbon over the top. Very sweet. Okay, we are going to finish up the show with some words of wisdom. And this is from the May-June 2017 issue of 17 Magazine. Words of Wisdom. These stars dish out fab advice in their new books. Check out some highlights. All right, this book is called A New Model, and it is written by Ashley Graham. It's already out. It came out on May 9th. She says, "The true beauty we all possess is found on the inside. That should be our focus. What other lives have we touched? How have we changed the world for the better? Those are qualities that can't be weighed." And that's in A New Model by Ashley Graham. The second book is called Let's Be Real by Natasha Burr. You never truly know what goes on in someone else's life until you reach out and ask. So instead of making a judgment from afar, reach out and get to know the person. We should all be given a fair chance. Again, that is called Let's Be Real by Natasha Byrne. I'm sorry, Burr, B-U-R-E. And finally, we have There's No F'Ching Secret by Kelly Osborne. And that is, her quote is, "If you build your life on positive things like hard work, love, and trying to be a better person, you can only grow. If you build your life on tearing other people down, you're only going to shrink." So, some words of advice, some words of wisdom, and some new books to take a look at. Okay, and we have got one last short reflection on why you need your feed. And this is in the Love and Life section of 17 Magazine. "If anyone ever questions how much you share online, here's some news you'll love. There's an amazing hidden benefit of posting. New research from Cornell University shows that when you put things you experience on social media, you're more likely to remember them than if you just scribble down thoughts in a journal. Why? Reflecting on the moment and interacting with others about it online help form a lasting impression. Whether you're posting about your graduation day or the pretty latte you just ordered. So those 10 minutes you spend choosing the perfect filter, always gingham, right? Or replying to comments aren't a waste of time. You're making long-lasting memories in an Insta." And finally, I'm going to leave you with just two quotes that are kind of relevant to our theme today of beauty. One is, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams," by Eleanor Roosevelt. And the second one is by John Ray, "Beauty is power. A smile is its sword." Well, we've reached the end of our episode today of Teen Magazines. And just wanted to thank you for spending this time with me this evening. And I hope you enjoyed the program. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Aniko Gal, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at kiwanisfoundation.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138.